Good morning. Man, this is a good day. I want to begin by saying welcome and thank you for tuning in. Those from home and various states, we have 135 devices tuned in right now from states like Texas, Arkansas, California, Missouri, Indiana, North Carolina, Iowa, and Georgia. And so we're glad that you are joining us this morning as we gather at God's throne and worship Him. And I know there are a lot of you here. This is your first day to come back since the quarantine. This is pretty special, isn't it? Amen. This is special. And I pray that we don't take this for granted in the future. I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to go ahead. It is a little warm in here. That's not just you. And obviously one of our units at least is struggling this morning, but the thermostats are correctly programmed and they are set at the temperature most of you would like. If some of you are too cold in here normally, today's your day, so enjoy it. I can't promise it'll always be that way. Hopefully not. Sorry, we try to keep everyone happy. It's not easy. Since the beginning of time, mankind has always had conflict with each other. And you think about Cain and Abel, and you think about through history and times where groups have had conflict with other groups, nations against other nations, classes of people against each other, races against races. And Satan has been behind all of it. Why would Satan care? And the reason is because our battle is not against flesh and blood. And that's why Satan cares. Satan is about disorder, division, envy, abuse, jealousy, corruption, lying, prejudice, and destruction of all kinds. Satan does not care who started it. He doesn't care whose fault it is. He doesn't care who's innocent. He doesn't care who's guilty. Satan doesn't care about order, justice, or peace. He just wants chaos. And I think it helps for us to kind of get our bearings and remember we're not of this world, and we are physical beings, but we're also spiritual beings, and there is a war going on, and the war is for souls. And so it's been a difficult week for our nation. It's been a very difficult week. And obviously everyone has opinions. And you've heard a lot of them this week, I'm sure. And so I remind you and acknowledge that you're not here. I hope you haven't come to hear Elliot's opinion or what Elliot thinks, because my goal is not to share what Elliot thinks. You're here, and I'm here to hear what God thinks. And this is a sermon, and it will come from God's Word, and I hope you receive it that way. And I encourage you to listen to the sermon always. But so I remind you today, my goal is to be God's voice, and God is speaking to you. God's not preaching to everyone else. Sometimes I hear something, or I read something, or I might hear in a sermon, and I think, man, there's a lot of people that need to hear that. Amen to that. Boy, I don't know where they are. I don't know where they might not even be here, but boy, somebody needs to hear that. And I encourage you to go the other direction, basically. You take this, and you fit it to you. And I pray that some part of today's sermon is something that you need, because none of us are perfect. If you are perfect, you're in the wrong place. Maybe you're in the right place. You need humility and you need repentance if you think you are perfect. So, you know, none of us have reached that status. We're going to be mainly in one scripture, James chapter 1, verses 19, 20, and 21. So, three verses, and we'll reach out and reference another scripture or two, but really three verses today. That's it. And I don't know, today's sermon may be short, may be long. We'll see. I don't know. But I know three verses we're going to really sit with and look at. And so James 1:19 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." I don't I don't know that I know anyone that's truly quick to hear. I know a lot who are quick to speak, myself included. And you've probably had an experience this week talking with somebody about what's going on in America. And both of you are talking, and there's a whole lot of talking, and you're talking on top of each other, and you're trying to listen, but you're really trying to talk. And you know, you got something to say as soon as they're done saying what they're saying. And we're all talking. But to be quick to, you know, we're quick to conclusions. We're quick to a lot of things. Quick to listen. Kind of goes against our nature. I want to talk about blues music for a minute, and just as an illustration, I like blues music. Always have. I've got some friends and folks in the room that we've enjoyed performing some blues music together. But it's a genre that I want to share a little bit about its history. You may or may not know, but it originated in the deep south of the U.S. approximately 1870s. Of course, by black musicians, and it included in its origin work songs, spirituals. Musically, what's called blue notes or worried notes is a lot of that music, usually thirds, fifths, and sevenths. That's for you musical people. I don't know what that means. I'm a drummer. But those are flattened in pitch, and they're frequently used. The lyrics are, of course, often about oppression and challenges faced by that culture, black culture and people. It is, you know, the main thing I wanted to point out is just the fact that we have a whole genre of music whose title or name is basically sad. We know what it means to be blue. You're down. You're sad. It's another word for sorrow, right? And so There's history of struggle that and of course many injustices that occurred in the past and still does. And I don't understand it all, and you don't understand it all, but our God understands it all, and He sees it all, and He knows it all. And I reference this on the point of being quick to hear. I remember going through a deep, sad time in my life when I went through a divorce, and my ex-wife being unfaithful, and it wasn't what I wanted, and I felt a great deal of injustice, and I felt a great deal of anger, and I felt a great deal of hate. And I remember during that time, I wanted someone to listen. And I had friends and family, church that cared about me, and they did listen, but I wanted someone to listen who knew what it was like. And I had one brother in Christ who had a similar story, in his life, so he was 10, 15 years down the road. It was in his past, and I remember talking to him, and I really thought that I could gain some a listening ear from him who would really understand. And what unfortunately happened was when I talked with him about it, he wanted to tell me more about his story. He didn't want to listen. He wanted to tell me, oh yeah, and it was about him. And he's a good man. I don't think he didn't understand. But I wanted to be heard. I wanted someone to hear and care. And that's what God is trying to say. As His people, He says, we should be quick to listen. There are people who are hurting, and I may not understand their hurt. I may not agree with their hurt, but can I listen? And that verse may be something that you need, to be quick to listen. Next thing is slow to speak. And we struggle with that. We're quick to speak. You ever said something you regretted? You ever said something that you thought, boy, that's probably not the nicest way to say it, but I just don't know any other way to say it, so I'm just going to say it like that? Or say something and you know, I'm going to say it like this, and that may hurt, you may not like how I'm saying this, but I'm sorry, this is what I'm saying. That's not slow to speak. Slow to speak means we need to choose our words wisely. We need to stop and think before we speak. What is spoken can't be unspoken. You can apologize for it. You can clean it up. You can patch it up. You can, you know what I mean? Try to take it back or whatever, but it can't be unspoken. And words need to be thought about carefully. If you want to say something and you think it's a little rude, don't say it. Right? That's what love is not rude. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is not condescending. And if what you're saying you think may be condescending, I think sometimes it's helpful to think about what you want to say and then spin it around. Imagine someone else saying, basically, if their words might be different because they're on the opposite side of some whatever it is, whatever point, counterpoint. Imagine them saying what they might say with the same, right? A little bit of sarcasm, a little bit of sass, a little bit of condescending. And would I like it? Slow to speak. Slow to anger. What God is saying here is listen to other people, try to understand other people, and love other people. It's simple in concept, it's difficult in practice, isn't it? It's difficult, but it's beautiful when it happens. All right, the anger, what's the problem with anger? Why slow to anger? For the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Have you been angry this week? Anger is close friends with hate, isn't it? I mean, those two, they run together. They hang out together a lot. They're BFFs, anger and hate. It's hard to be angry and stay far away from hatred because it is right next door. And so God says, God knows we're going to have times we get angry, but God's basic message is don't stay angry. Don't enjoy being angry. Don't rush to anger. You need to be slow, and the way you're slow about that is listen more, talk less, resist becoming angry, because angry is not your friend. And so here's a scripture to let's bring in with this. Matthew 5:21. This is a passage about conflict. And if you have felt any, and our nation is in conflict, and you've probably had some friction or conflict either directly with people this week, or maybe indirectly. Maybe you just watch the news. Incidentally, I had a strange thought today. How often we gather news compared to how often we gather this. Don't you think it ought to be at least a 1-to-1 ratio? Ought to at least be, let me hear what God thinks, at least the same portion as what I'm gathering, what in the world's going on in our world. Anyway, that's free. Okay, conflict, Matthew 5:21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. So that's in the old law. That's in the law of Moses. It's the law of God's people. A civilized society has this law. You can't just go out and kill someone. Do not murder. And then Jesus says, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Why would Jesus say that? Why would he? So murder is already understood to be wrong. Jesus goes back to the root of murder. Anger. That's why we can't embrace anger. That's why anger is not our friend, because it heads us down a road that we don't need to be on. And it's a road of destruction, and it's the road Satan is calling everyone down this road, isn't he? Satan doesn't care what the disagreement is about, folks. It could be about coronavirus. It could be about racial tensions, justice, injustice, whatever. Satan doesn't care. He's just glad we're arguing and angry and hateful and violence. So whoever's angry with his brother, whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Satan takes us and he says, look at those on the other side. Look how dumb they are. And then Satan says, you ought to say something about that, how dumb they are. You ought to tell someone how dumb they are. You ought to do something and act in a way to, right? Do you see what the devil's doing? He takes a seed in our heart and he plants it. And then, or an ember, and then he fans it, and he wants to take us down a road. And it's about conflict. And that's why Jesus is teaching us something. He's teaching us not to return evil for evil. Not to return insult for insult. Not to return sass for sass. But to return love. And then verse 23, reading on, he says, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. Now, of course, the context here is a community. This is a spiritual community. And so Jesus is speaking to the Jews, and he's saying, your fellow Jewish brother, you know they have something against you, right? You go to him. Go to that brother or sister. By the way, our tendency, and for the passive aggressives in the crowd, that's the last thing we want to do. If I know someone's upset with me, I don't want to go to them and have conflict and be all kinds of, you know, anxious about it and stress. But go, Jesus says, go to them. Leave the gift before the altar and go. And that's a way of saying how important that is, isn't it? Stop the worship. And go take care of this. It doesn't minimize worship, but Jesus is saying our relationships with each other are important. They're important. They're more important than the things we oftentimes fuss about. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. And the truth is, our nation needs a lot of reconciling. There are differences. Is misunderstanding, there is hurt all the way around. We're not getting along. Imagine parents with two kids in the back seat on vacation and the kids are squabbling. Is that how God feels? We're not getting along. Now, it's a much more serious scale, and it's violent, and it's very, very destructive, and it is the devil is... He's winning a lot, you know, in a lot of ways this week. But God is wanting reconciliation, and our nation needs that. And we need more love, we need more kindness, we need more courtesy, we need more cooperation, we need more healing. If you want to know what God is doing or what He's leading or what He's after, that's what God's after, right? We know what God is. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So verse 21, let's go back to James. We have three verses. Here's our third one. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Now when I read that, I'm tempted to do what I said earlier that we're not supposed to do and give a good old amen because I know somebody needs to cut it out. Right? Someone needs that. Somebody needs to hear that. Quit it. But God's word is not for us to go use as a weapon. It is for us to use as we are God's voice. But we have to do it in love. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us very clearly, very plainly, if you can't do it in love, don't do it. If you can't do it in love, it's pointless. And so the world needs this, yes. But when we read the word, the word is a mirror to you. So think about what you need from this, or how God may be trying to convict you with His word. All right, here's where this gets better for us, I think, easier. Receive with meekness. What is meekness? It's humility. Meek, it's gentle, it's patient. Receive God's word with meekness. For you to see what's wrong with you, you'll probably never see it with someone else shouting it at you. You'll never see it with someone speaking harshly, rudely, sarcastically, any of those things. You'll never get it that way. And if you're trying to help someone else, they're not going to get it that way. Because humility is what is needed to receive God's word. And that's a gut check that we each have to do. We each have to take God's word and say, yeah, God, I need to work on that. I need to change. I need to quit that. I need to soften my heart. Receive with meekness the implanted word. God's word, Jesus talked about the sower and the seed. God's word here is described as something that God plants in you, and God is wanting it to grow. What would God's word do if it grew in you? Well, it produces fruit. That's the analogy. So God's word becomes a seed in you. What happens in a person when God's word grows and produces fruit is fruit. God's word is fruit of the Spirit. What the devil's doing, it's destruction and chaos and hate and anger, murder, all that. God's word is fruit of the Spirit. So if we receive God's word with meekness and we let it grow, if you want to know what to do, love more. Right? Love. Be patient more. Be gentle more. The boy that sets up a stand, a prayer request stand in his front yard, that's a good thing. Love more, which is able to save your souls. And this scripture ends, these three verses, just three verses, but it ends reminding us what is important. Souls are more important than anything else because they're eternal. We're after eternal souls. We're arguing about race right now, and it won't be long we'll be arguing about elections and officials and presidents, politics. These things have value because we live on this earth, but they're not eternal, right? They're not souls. We're trying to save souls. Can I deny me in order to help save a soul? And so this is great because it reminds me of that our battle's not against flesh and blood. There's an eternity that we're talking about here. And people are what's important. You think about 2020. What will you remember about this year? We're only halfway through. What a ride. So coronavirus started out unprecedented. The thing that got my attention first about COVID-19 is when the NBA shut it down. Are you kidding me? This is real. I mean, this thing just got real. Okay? Because the NBA is about, they're a money-making, they're not a charity, they're a money-making operation. Anyway, sports. Hey, people love sports. So, coronavirus has been a wild ride, and it's not over. I don't understand it all. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you what to think about corona. And now the racial tensions. We're 1 week into that. What is God, when God looks at these things, so this year, these two have been they've disrupted our lives. By the way, this thought hit me. What would we normally be doing in the spring and summer? I love Oklahoma. It's my home. We have seasons here, right? Winter's tough. Some of you like winter. Good for you. Winter's tough. So spring, we come out of winter. We get to do some things. Life's good. Sun's shining. It's warmer. Flowers are blooming. Summer, we get to do some more things. Vacations, you know, kids' sports, whatever you like to do in the summer. But we're out and about doing, living our life as Americans, aren't we? This year, all that got, not all of it, most of that got shut down. Can't do it. Can't do this, can't do this, can't do this, can't do this. I wonder if God looks at 2020 as a test. And the things we normally could do, we cannot do. And this year, to God, I think is about people. Which ironically, to God, every year is about people. But this year, our spring got shut down. Our early summer is different. Everything is crazy. And how are we doing treating one another? Does that make sense? Coronavirus is a health crisis among people. How have we been doing? How has our nation been doing? How are we as a church doing? We have disagreements on this COVID-19 deal. Do you know that? Do you know we do? Of course. And we have disagreements about racial tensions. People. How have I been doing treating other people in these two crises? Love your neighbor. How have I done on that? You know, our life is a test to God. And part of the test to God is evaluating. God's evaluating me. I'm not saying if I'm worthy to go to heaven. I'm talking about, am I living my faith? Am I being Christ-like? Love your neighbor. Whew. I don't know. I don't think I've done as well as... It's totally different when you stop and say, well, that was about people. How'd you do with that? Well, I don't know. I thought it was about COVID-19. I thought it was ridiculous. You know, this, that, and the other. No, it was about people. How'd you treat them? All right, we're going to close. How'd I do? Man, nailed it. Right in the middle. No one thought that. No one thought it'd be exactly the same time I always preach. Okay. I want to close with a prayer, and I want to tell you what I'm going to pray about before we pray. I want to pray for our nation and our world to come to know God and His love. We're going to pray for each of us to search, for God to search our hearts and change us, however God deems that we need to be changed. For those who are hurting, I want to pray for them. I want to pray for George Floyd's family. And I'll tell you why. I don't understand that whole... I don't pretend to understand everything about the situation. I know they lost a loved one. And I know people die every day. I understand that too. But this is more of an example. Who of us would want to trade places with that family? Aside from the details we may or may not understand or agree on, there's hurt. And so just as an example of hurt, I want to pray for them. For those of color who've been mistreated in the past and the ways that injustice continues in our world today, I want to pray for that. For the good men and women in law enforcement and their families who serve and sacrifice for the peace and safety that we enjoy and we take for granted daily. I want to pray for that. For our leaders, you may or may not know, but the police chief in Tulsa is a member of the church, Park Plaza. I want to pray for him. And I want to pray for all our leaders. I don't know them all. I don't know their names. But leadership all the way up to the president of this nation, president of the United States. I want to pray for those who are guilty and wrong, various types, those who have abused power, those who have rioted, looted, whatever, committed crimes, committed wrongs. God says, pray for your enemies. And lastly, pray for the church, God's church, and this congregation, and for us to have unity, and for us to show the love of Christ. Remember, Jesus said, they'll know you by your love. So, if you would, bow with me. Let's pray, and then we'll have an invitation. God, we come to your throne. We know that's where answers come from. Your word, we've opened it this morning, and we've read it, and we've searched it, and we pray you make it grow in our hearts and in our lives. We pray that you guide us and give us the words we need. Help us to listen more and to be careful what we say. Help us with our anger to be slow to anger and to be quick to love. And we pray right now for our nation and our world that they would come to know you and your love. We pray for each of us that you'll search our hearts and change us. We pray for George Floyd's family, for those who are hurting right now worldwide for various reasons, but right now in our nation with racial problems, we pray for all those who are hurting, but in specifically, we want to lift up this family. We want to pray for those of color who've been mistreated in the past, and ways that injustice continues in our world today. We pray for that. We know that that is not what you're behind or about. We know the devil is, and we pray you defeat him. We pray for the good men and women in law enforcement and their families as they serve and sacrifice for the peace and safety that we enjoy. We take it for granted, and we pray for them. For our leaders, we pray for the police chief in Tulsa. We pray for all of our leaders, all the way up to the president of this nation. We pray for those who are guilty of various types of wrong, for those who've abused power, for those who have rioted, looted, murdered, whatever crimes. We pray for them. We know that they are made in your image. We know you created them and you want to redeem them. And we pray for them. We pray for the church worldwide, and we pray for this congregation that you will grant us greater unity, that we will show your love more. And we pray that the world will know your people by their love. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a song and offer an opportunity. If there's something that you need, something you're struggling with, you'd like us to pray with you about, we'd love to do that. If there's one here this morning, as always, you can come to Christ and have your sins washed away in baptism anytime, folks, anytime. But as we're here right now. And so if anyone is in need of giving their life to Christ, we'd love to help you with that. If you'd come while we stand and sing.